So we're moving today to the middle sugya that we skipped last time, the sugya about the three exceptions to the mitzvah pikuach nefesh, to cases where one saves one's life rather than break a halacha in the process. The three exceptions are gilui arayos, shfichas damim, and avodah zarah. Our Gemara discusses how some of the sources, how we learn out these various drashos, that why these exceptions apply. So we're going to read through the Gemara. Okay, and I'm going to cold call as promised. Adira, do you want to read the Gemara?
Sure. Where are we starting from again?
We're starting from Avodah Zarah Minalan, right? The Gemara just said that the line before is Ein lecha davar she'omid b'fnei pikuach nefesh. Nothing stands in the face of saving a life, chutz me avodah zarah v'gilui arayos u'shvichas damim, except for the big three. And now we're going to learn out where each of these proofs are found.
Okay, just finding my place.
Eight or nine lines up.
Okay, Menalan. D'Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So when we say like v'hafta isha shemukacha, why does it say these two? Like one would b'chol meodacha, v'im ne'amar b'chol meodacha, lama ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. So why do you need one? If you have one, it's good enough. You don't need both. Im yishlacha adam shagufo chaviv alav mimono. If you have someone who likes his body better than his money, l'kach ne'amar b'chol nafshecha. V'im yishlacha adam shemimono chaviv alav migufo, l'kach ne'amar u'b'chol meodacha. And if you have someone that likes their money more than they like their body, therefore you have b'chol modecha with all your resources.
Okay, and how does that teach? How does that teach that avodah zarah is yihari val yavar?
So I'm not so sure, but I think like Rabbi Akiva or someone else says like b'chol modecha means with your whole life.
B'chol nafshecha, right? I think it is Rabbi Akiva. B'chol nafshecha, afilu hu notel es nafshecha. With your whole life, even if your life is taken, you have to love God fully. And how does that have to do with avodah zarah?
Because you have to serve Hashem and not other gods.
Right, loving God is an exclusive sort of thing, right? So, and as soon as you do avodah zarah, that's a lack in your love of God, and you have to give up your life rather than doing that based on this drasha. And if everyone saw in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, there's actually a machlokes whether this is true, whether avodah zarah is yihari val yavar or not. We seem to hold that it is, as it comes out in our Gemara. Okay, keep going.
Okay, Gilu Ayaro Shpicha Damim Minalan. How do we know these other two? Titania Zitaz Rabbi Omer, Ki Kasher Yakum Ish Al Re'ehu, Varetzcho Nafesh, Kin Hadabar Haza. So there's a pasuk, and it says, like, if you kill someone.
Well, it's not in the context of murder. Murder is invoked as a parallel. What's the context there?
Idea.
So it's in the case of Nara Morasa, right? A woman who's had kiddushin, who's betrothed, and another man is sleeping with her. So we say, if in a case where she's let's say it's the rape happens or the case happens in a field, we say v'la nara lo sase davar, ein la nara chet maves. We don't punish her at all. We only punish him. Why? It's like being murdered. She had no choice in the matter. She was not willing, and therefore she doesn't get punished. Only the man who slept with an armoresa gets punished in that case. But this is a comparison between a case of Gilui Arayos, the case of an armoresa, and the case of Shvichas Damim and murder.
So is that like a hekesh?
Yeah. Right, so we connect the two, and how do we interpret it? We're going to go in two directions, two different connections. We're going to build two different interpretations out of that connection.
Okay, just keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
Nimsa
lamid, yeah.
Ma nara hamorsa nitan la hatzila benafsho afrotzeach kule.
Okay, so that's the first interpretation. Yeah, so what, if you can translate, what's that first interpretation, the first drasha?
Just like it's, you have to like save her life, like pikuach nefesh. The Na'ar Hamor says like you have to.
And who's the you? Who's the you who has to save her?
An innocent bystander?
Right, a bystander. Right, the bystander can and really should intervene and save her, and that's what comes out of the pasuk, right? Mm-hmm. That she cried out and there was no one to save her, but if someone was around, they should have saved her, right? So that's true by a case of Na'ar Morasa, and it's also true...
also a murder, so... if someone's being killed, you also have to go in and save them?
Yeah, go in and save them. And when we talk about saving the party who's being either raped or murdered, we don't mean just saving them in any way. I mean, you can do that, but you can also save them lethally. You can also save them by killing the attacker, right? And that's the sugya in Sanhedrin, the mission in Sanhedrin there, that it's nitan latzila binafsho. You can save her by killing him. Or in the case of Rodeth, nitan latzilo binafsho. You can kill you can save the person who's being chased after by killing the person who's chasing after them. So that's one thing. That's one thing we learn out from Na'ar Hamorasa to Rotzeach, right? And the Gemara said, "Balilamed v'nimtza lamed." So Rotzeach is brought in to teach us something in the case of Na'ar Hamorasa, and it ends up learning something too, right? Comes to teach the lamed and nimtza lamed, ends up learning. So we have a drasha both ways. So the first one is that a third party can kill the attacker in both cases. What else do we learn out?
So just like you should rather be killed than kill someone else, so too an Na'ar Hamorasa should rather submit to being killed rather than do the deed.
Right, and right, so you were saying the Na'ar Hamorasa, the woman, should give up her life rather than participate.
Is it that the third man shouldn't be with an Na'ar
Hamorasa? We're not talking about a third party anymore. But what does Rashi say? What does Rashi say on Af Na'ar Hamorasa?
Im Yomru Ba'ul Arusa Chaviracha O Teharig Yeharig Val Yavor. So if they say be with your friend, fiance, you should rather be killed.
Right, and this is talking about a man, right? If a man is told, we're going to kill you unless you sleep with this Na'ar Hamorasa, that man has to give up his life. Okay, keep going.
Ena mitzuva lemsor et nafsha. She doesn't have to kill herself. Tehi ena osaklum. She's not doing anything. Dekarka olam ba'alma. He the raya ledavar aster. So she's considered as if like earth, like she's very passive, not doing anything. And a proof to this is Esther Hamalka.
Right. So the way Rashi says, and Rashi has a diuk in the Gemara. We'll talk about it in a second. But Rashi says the Yeharig Val Yavor for Na'ar Hamorasa, it's only talking about the man, not the woman. Right. If a gun is put to a man's head and they say sleep with a Na'ar Hamorasa, he has to give up his life. If a gun is put to a woman's head and she's a Na'ar Hamorasa and they say sleep with a man who's not your husband, she does not have to give up her life. And Rashi says the proof to this is Esther, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we're going to talk about in a second. But what's Rashi's diuk in our Gemara that we're only talking about the man and not the woman who has to give up their life?
It says
Yehareg and not Tehareg, right? So for those of us who are following the grammar, right, Yehareg is the Lashon Zachar. Third person masculine, the person who would, the man who would be sleeping with the Na'ar Hamorasa has to give up his life, but it doesn't say Tehareg. It doesn't say she has to give up her life. Rashi says why? Because it's not true. She doesn't have to give up her life. Now, actually, it's a little complicated. If you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the parallel line actually does say Tehareg Val Tavor, that she, it sounds like it would mean she would have to give up her life. And presumably Rashi and Tosfos, we're going to see, who build on this, would say that that's not the right girsa. It should say Yeharig there too, because she doesn't need to give up her life, only he needs to give up his life. So we'll take questions in a second, just we want to get through the end of the Gemara. So what have we learned out? We learned out, number one, we learned out from V'hatzah Shem Elkecha B'chol Nafshecha, that Avodah Zarah is Yeharig Val Yavor, and we learned out from the Hekesh that just like murder is Yeharig Val Yavor, so too Gilui Arayos is Ihari Valiyavor. But what's missing?
Shpichat Damim.
Right. How do we know the murder itself is Ihari Valiyavor? We sort of assume that for this drasha we just said, but how do we know that itself? So let's continue on Amud Beis.
Mihan?
Verotzeach Gufei Minalan.
Okay. Verotzeach Gufei Minalan. Was Svarahi. Dehahu Deita Le Kame Derava. We learned it out by itself. Gufei.
From Svara. So Rotzeach Gufei there means Rotzeach itself, meaning we just learned out something from the fact that Rotzeach is Yahar Yavor. But how do we even know Rotzeach? How do we know Rotzeach itself? Right, so how do we know Rotzeach itself?
Svarahu, it's we learned out Dehahu Deita Le Kame Derava Amar Le Amar Li Mari De Vare De
Dorai. Yeah.
Katale Le Ploni Ve Ilo Katalina Lach Amar Lach Nikatlech Ve Lo Tiktol. You should be killed rather than kill someone else.
Right. And again, this is a svarahi. This is a svara. This is based on logic. There's no pasuk. There's no drasha. We don't need a drasha. It's so obvious. It's logical that you can't kill to save your life. We don't even need a pasuk. And then we give the story. This person comes over and says, Mari Durai, the master of your town, the mayor, is saying, kill someone or else I'll kill you. Right? The mayor of your city, not such a nice guy, says, kill someone or I'll kill you. And the response is, Niktalech below Tiktol, you should be killed rather than kill. Why? What's the svara? What's the logic?
You don't know whose blood is redder, so you don't know who's more important. So rather be killed than kill someone else.
Right. Who are you to say that your blood is redder or darker than his blood? You should be killed rather than go and kill this other person. That's the svara. That's the logic we see from here murder, shvichas damim, is yehar val yavor. You can't do it to save your life. What does Rashi add on that last line, on the Maichazis line? If you want, you can read it. If not, we can discuss.
There's like mowing outside my house. The last line, or?
Just go through it, yeah.
Okay, Kolomar, my dad called the Mishari Milsa Misham V'chai Baham V'lo Shiamu Baham. What about the pasuk that says you have to live with the mitzvot?
Right, and that's the source for usually violating mitzvot rather than giving up your life. That's the classic source of v'chai b'hem, although there's more than one source. We'll get to that next week.
Tamo shel davar lefi shechaviva nafshan shel Yisrael lefnei hamakom yoter min hamitzvot. So Hashem likes us to live rather than do the mitzvot, but that's more important. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Normally we say the life is more important than the mitzvot, but here it's kind of like equivalent, you know, like you both have a life, you both have a mitzvot, so who's to say which one is more important? We can't make that distinction.
Right. So Rashi, the way Rashi puts it, generally, the way we think about pikuach nefesh is a life is more valuable than mitzvos. But if you have a life in either case, they cancel out. And then all you have left is the mitzvah, the avera of murder. So it's prohibited to murder unless it's not like you're saving a life. If you would save a life, that would be a different story. But since you're not even saving a life, we're left with the prohibition of murder, and you can't do it. So that's why Shvichus Damim doesn't override. We don't apply V'chai Behem in that case. We don't say to do the Avera rather than give up your life. Okay, great. Thank you for reading. That's the Gemara. We're going to talk about the Gemara in Sanhedrin in a second, but first, any questions? I saw there was one hand before. Sorry. I think you need to unmute.
I was just, when you were reading the pasuk where it said, you know, how the man would get the death penalty, but she would not, because it says, Ein l'nara chait. And I was wondering why we would not then assume in this case also, sort of like, Ein l'nara chait, and she should not be, that she should not be sort of required to give up her life for something where we're saying that this is not even, you know what I'm saying? We say, Ein l'nara chait, this is not something that she's actively doing. She's just the object. Why would we not apply that same kind of rationale? I guess that's just what I was thinking when you said that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the difference between, I mean, the difference between the, let's say, the Esther case and, well, the difference, it depends. There's a lot of different possible scenarios here, right? The pasuk is talking about a case where there's two scenarios. Either the woman is in the field and then mm-hmm. crying out wouldn't help, or she's right. in the city where crying out would help, right? And the assumption right. is if she doesn't cry out, then in a sense she's a willing participant. That's the presumption.
Right.
Whatever one thinks of that as practically, that's the Gemara's assumption. So
We're talking about a case where she's being forced to the point of, is she giving up her life or not? I don't think we can assume she's a willing participant. So why would we not then just also say, and, you know, assume that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
she's not being punished with the death penalty, you know, in that first case. And this is sort of the case we're taking it from. So why would we assume that she should give up her life here?
Right. So I think that's what Rashi, we saw, I mean, we saw Rashi essentially said that, right? That's why, Yeh Harig Vel Yavor, it's only for the man in the case of Nar Marasa and not for the woman, right? We don't apply Yeh Harig Vel Yavor for basically the reason you said. So we're going to see in Tosfos, we'll get into that, we're going to see the Rambam may disagree. Reb Chaim thinks the Rambam disagrees, it's a bit more complicated. We'll get to that, but yeah, I think that as a basic reflexive understanding, I think that makes a lot of sense, and that's what Rashi and Tosfos are saying. Okay. Golda.
Yeah, so this is probably a dumb question, but this is implying that Shvichat Damim is only on Jews, right?
So that's complicated. Someone asked me that the other day during Seder. Rashi talks about Yisrael and seems to limit it in that way. I found an interesting tshuva by Harav Ratzon Arusi. He's a dayan in Eretz Yisrael today, where he thinks it applies to Ger Toshav as well. So he thinks, you know, his assumption is anything that qualifies as murder, Lo Tirzach, which includes a Ger Toshav, would have fallen under that. So it's not so clear. Rashi does sound that way, but it's not clear if we'd necessarily go in that direction. I think there are ways around that. But yeah, it's a fair question. A little beyond the scope of our focus now, but yeah, but definitely relevant to the Rashi there. Okay, if there are no other questions, let's just talk for a minute about the Gemara and Sanhedrin. I think there were two main points to take out of the Gemara and Sanhedrin and to get some familiarity with that sugya. So obviously it repeats some of what we had in our sugya, or I don't know if it repeats it. I don't know why ours came first. We saw it first. And it mentions the Shita that Avodah Zarah is not Yeh Harig Vel Yavor, which is a whole other interesting discussion, which we're not going to get into now. But it expands the scope of Yeh Harig Vel Yavor, right? It says Yeh Harig Vel Yavor is not only for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim, for the Gimel Chamuros, for the big three, but it also applies in two other broad scenarios, potentially, which are what? Gzeres Shmad
and Farhesia.
Right, Gzeres Shmad and Farhesia, right? If there's a governmental decree to break the mitzvos, to not keep the Torah, then that becomes Yeh Harig Vel Yavor. And Parhesia, if something's in public, if something's in front of a minion, that's defined as public, then that's also Yeh Harig Vel Yavor. It sounds like they're two separate categories, although some people, including one of the sources we saw, collapses them. But that's one important principle, that there are these different categories. And then the Gemara, in its continuation, raises a question. It says, well, we V'ha Esther Parhesia Havai. How can you say that in a case of Parhesia, violating the Torah publicly, you have to give up your life rather than die for any of the mitzvos? If Esther was a publicly known figure, was a celebrity in the times of the Megillah, and everyone knew that she was with Ahasuerus, she was a public figure, so she was publicly with Ahasuerus, and that's Usher, so Esther should be Parhesia. How could she do what she did? And the Gemara has two answers there. Abaye and Rava, what are the two answers? Karka Olam Abai says Esther was passive in the act, right? She was a Karka Olam, like the ground, not active, and therefore there's no problem with Farhesia. And what was the second thing you said? Sorry, I didn't hear.
She didn't get any benefit out of it.
So, our Tosus here gets into that, but the Gemara there, Rava says, Hanas Atzman Shani, which is about benefit, but it's not talking about her benefit, it's talking about their benefit, meaning Ahasuerus was sleeping with Esther not in order to make all the Jews go against the Torah. That wasn't what he wanted. What he wanted was his own immediate physical pleasure. So Hanas Atzman Shani, the whole category of Farhesia doesn't apply if people aren't doing things to publicly have Jews violate the Torah, to show, oh, look, the Jews don't keep the Torah, but rather just out of, their own physical interests and their own comfort. So the Gemara talks about a case of someone who says, chop wood for me on Shabbos in public, and, then they end up using so if they actually need, if they need the wood, that's Hanas Atzman. They're just doing because they want you to do work for them. But if they throw the wood away, they say, oh, chop the wood, okay, now I'm going to throw it out. They're doing that to show that Jews don't keep the Torah, right? So that's another example, potentially, of Hanas Atzman. Fine. So that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? So, Tosfo, right? What about Esther? Esther's Parhesia. Why is that not Usser? Answer number one, Abaye. She was Karka Olam. She was passive. Answer number two, Rava. It's Hanas Atzman. Tosfos, and recall Rashi, when Rashi said, Raya Ladavar Esther, Esther proves that the Nar Morasa is... is not commanded to give up her life rather than do Gilui Arayos. When he says that, he says the proof is Esther, right? Because Esther also didn't have to give up her life in that case. So he's connecting it to the Esther story. We're going to get to Tosfos now momentarily, but first there's a question. Yeah, Tehila.
I'm just wondering, the two additional factors of Zerah Shemad and Parhesia, do those then apply to any Avera, or are those in addition to the current mitzvah that we see in the Rebellion of War?
So it sounds like, the straight reading of the Gemara, it sounds like they apply to any mitzvah. The Gemara talks about Arkas of the Masana, even tying your shoelaces the right way, would fall under those categories. That's what it sounds like. There are some views that read it differently, but that's the standard reading. Okay, so Tosfos now comes in, Tosfos on our sugya, comes in and wants to question a little bit some of these details. He's building off of Rashi. He's going to get into the story with Esther and the Gemara and Sanhedrin. So yes, I'll read, and everyone hopefully follow along inside in our Tosfos. So he says, Marotzeach yeharig val yavor, afna armarasa, yeharig val yavor, right? Just like, rather than murder, you have to give up your life. So too, in the case of Nar Marasa, Yeharig Val Yavor, the person who would be sleeping with the Nar Marasa has to give up his life rather than sleep with her. And Tosfo says, Perish Rashi, quotes Rashi that we saw, Delogaras Tehareg, it doesn't say she has to give up her life, right? Even though you would have guessed that, Nar Marasa is feminine, right? You would think Tehareg, she should have to give up her life. The Ihi Lo Mechayv Leminsar Nafsha, she doesn't have to give up her life. The karka olam hi, because she's passive, right? So Rashi, that's Rashi. Uveha nicha, and now Tosfos is going to apply that point of Rashi, right? Rashi's point that the nar marasa, the woman herself, because she's passive, doesn't have to give up her life. He wants to bring a proof to that. Uveha nicha, or he wants to use that, apply that to explain something. Uveha nicha de perik ben soramor, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Parich, veha Esther parhesi avai. Right, remember that was the question. How could Esther go to Ahasuerus if she was... it was public that she was with Ahasuerus. That's a public avera. How can she do that? V'amaylo parich v'hagilu arayo sihari v'alyavor. Why didn't the Gemara ask not that Esther is doing this publicly, but that Esther is violating one of the big three, gilu arayos, right? It's prohibited for Esther to sleep with Ahasuerus, regardless of whether it's public or not. Why are they only talking about Farhesia? Afilu b'tzina, it's even prohibited in private. Ulamai de lo garas tehareg, nicha de lo inyan gilui arayos, yada shapir hamakshe de mahani karka olam. So his answer is, in terms of gilui arayos, it's actually obvious that karka olam works. The Gemara doesn't even need to raise the question of Esther, what Esther did was gilui arayos. That's obvious that it's karka olam, that the fact that she's passive means she's exempt, right? Just like our Gemara assumes yehareg, as Rashi said, ve'al ya'avor, he has to give up his life in the case of Amarasa, she does not. That's clear. Aval le'inyan parhesia, the time of Shemchil Hashem, lo asik adayte demahani. But in terms of the other issue, not the issue of Gilui Arayos, the Aver itself, but the issue of parhesia, of publicly violating the Torah, where there's a Chil Hashem aspect, it's a desecration of God's name, that's presumably the reason why you have to give up your life rather than doing an Aver b'farhesia. On that, lo asik adayte demahani. We didn't know necessarily that Karka Olam worked, that Karka Olam made a difference. That's why we asked the question about Parhesia, but not about Gilui Arayos. And then what was the answer? Tosa says, well, Haki Park, Vaha Esther Parhesia, Vai, Umishani, Li'in Parhesia, Nami, Karka Olam Haisa, Umahani. The answer was actually, Karka Olam, being passive, works to answer the question of Parhesia too. So our original thought was that being passive solves the problem of doing the Avera of Gilui Arayos, but doesn't solve the problem of parhesia, of the public violation. And then the Gemara concludes, according to Abaye, it actually solves the problem of parhesia too. Now, we're going to talk a little bit tomorrow about this question of the big three. Are they based on the sort of the severe nature of the Avera, Chomer HaAvera, or are they based on some sort of Chil Hashem too? Tosfos here seems to be assuming that Gilui Arayos is not based on Chil Hashem, it's just based on the Avera itself. And Tosfos is also assuming that that the fact that one is passive, they had the Havamina. Tosfos thought originally, or they thought the Gemara thought originally, that being passive only solves the problem of Chomer HaAvera. Right? If you're passive, you're not really violating the Avera, so the fact that it's a severe Avera doesn't really matter. But it wouldn't solve the Parhesia aspect. The fact that it's public, because the fact that you're passive is irrelevant, you're still involved. Kamash Malan, the Gemara concludes, Abaye answers, it even solves the problem of parhesia. The fact that you're passive, the fact that Esther was passive, even solves the issue of the public violation. And we're going to continue with that in a second. Well, you know what? Let's continue now, and then I'll take questions. Fine. He says, Veteda. He has a proof. De'ihi de'lo avda maisa ein la leharig. Right, a proof to Rashi, a proof to everything we've been saying until now, that one who's a passive participant in Gilui Arayos, namely the woman, or Esther, doesn't have to give up her life. How do we know that? Dehame Rotzeach Yalfinan, we learn out Gilui Arayos from Rotzeach, right? That's what we just saw in the Gemara, the Hekesh. Just like you have to give up your life rather than kill someone, you have to give up your life rather than be involved in Nar Marasa. So that's the Hekesh. Verotzeach Gufei Deharig, the whole logic of not murdering someone, dying rather than losing your life rather than murdering someone, is based on the logic of my chazis, right? Who says, my blood is redder than yours, I have no right to kill you to save me. That whole discussion is only true in a case where you do an action. So now Tosis is telling us a chiddush. Tosis is telling us that the whole idea of my chazis, of it's prohibited to kill someone to save yourself, is only true if you're actively killing the person, not if you're passively killing them. What does that mean, passively killing them? Aval I lo avid maisa, if you're not doing an action, kigon, sherotzim lahapilo alatinok, kedelo hargo. Sorry for the graphic case, but there's a scenario, someone wants to throw you out of a building onto a baby to crush the baby, to kill the baby. In such a case, right? They put a gun to your head, they say, comply with what we want to do, we're going to throw you out this window onto a baby to kill the baby. If not, we're going to kill you right now. Right, if you try to stop them, they're going to kill you. But if you stay passively, the baby will be killed by your body being thrown on it. V'chol ki hai gavna ein lo leharek. In such a case, Tosfos says, this is their own svara. There's no source for this other than before Tosfos. They say you don't need to give up your life in that case. It is permitted to allow yourself to be thrown onto the baby. Why? The adiraba nema my chazis the dama didei sumak tvei. Dilma dama didi sumak tvei. You have the same logic, but reversed. Who's to say that this baby's blood is redder than mine? Why should I have to give up my life for the baby? Rather, I can just passively remain doing what I am, and when the people throw me on the baby will die. That's fine, based on the svara, based on the logic of my chazis. So Tosfos says, because that's true, because of their interpretation, that you don't need to give up your life to, in a case of passive shvichas damim, of passive killing, so too, you don't need to give up your life for a case of passive gilui arayos, namely, the Nar Marasa doesn't need to give up her life rather than have this man sleep with her. Ve'od, de'akesha de'kra birotzeach shehorig bi'adayim ksiv kasher yakum ish al re'ehu ritzacho nefesh. Right, and remember, the whole hekesh, the whole comparison between rotzeach and Nar Marasa, that they're both Yark Val Yavor, is focusing on an active case. Right, just like someone yakum ish al re'ehu, someone gets up actively ritzacho nefesh and kills. Only a case of active killing is compared to Nar Marasa for it being Yehargval Yavar. So too, only a case of active Gilui Arayos leads to one having to give up their life rather than do it. Right. So only the man needs to give up his life, not the woman. And it's proven from the connection to Shvichas Damim, both based on Tosus's logic and based on the Hekish, the language of the Hekish. That's all within Abaye. That's all within Abaye in Sanhedrin, who says that Esther Parasiavai, no, it's okay because of Karka Olam. What about Rava? Does Rava also accept Karka Olam? He says, V'Rava de Palig, V'Perek Ben Sora More, Ashinu the Karka Olam. Rava seems to reject Karka Olam. He gives a different answer. He gives the answer of Hanas Atzman. Achashverosh is just doing this for his own benefit. U'mishani Hanas Atzman Shani, Perish Kisha Onsen, it's Adam Lavar, but Davar Shieshlo Hanal Le'atzmo, Leke Chil Hashem. There's no Chil Hashem if you're doing something just for your own benefit. That's why there's no problem with Parhesia in the case with Achashverosh. Lo Palig, Ela Le'inyan Parhesia, Delo Mahani Karka Olam. Even Rava, who seems to reject the idea of Karka Olam in the Gemara, he only rejects it in a case of Parhesia, in a case of, for the issue of public violation. But even Rava agrees with what we just said, what we said in Rashi and everyone else, that Karka Olam helps to avoid the problem of Gilui Arayos. There's no problem with Gilui Arayos if it's passive. Even Rava agrees to that. He only disagrees about Parhesia being solved by Karka Olam. Inami afilu inyan Parhesia lo palig ela mosiv od tam sheni. Or maybe Rava doesn't even argue in the case of Parhesia, he really agrees with Abaye's reason and gives another reason. The point here at the end is, Tosfos wants to say this idea that we saw in Rashi, that the Nar Marasa, she doesn't need to give up her life at all if she's a passive participant. That is unanimous between both Abaye and Rava in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. He has two different ways of reading the Gemara to make that work. But that's his point. So let's just, to sort of concretize what we have, Tosfos' idea is that he first learns out, conceptually, first learns out from that murder is only Yehargval Yavor if it's active, not if it's passive. And then he extends that to Gilui Arayos is only Yehargval Yavor if it's active, not if it's passive. Therefore, as Rashi said, the Nar Marasa need not give up her life, only the man who would be sleeping with her has to give up his life rather than do it. She does not have to give up her life because she's passive. And that's unanimous. Everyone agrees to that according to Tosfos. So that's Tosfos. I'll take some questions now. Then we'll look at the Rambam and Reb Chaim. And there's a lot going on here. So, you know, a lot of balls in the air juggling. But I think we need all of them to fully appreciate what Reb Chaim is going to do. Okay, Dvorah.
Yeah, so when Tosfos and Rashi are describing how Karka Olam is the honey list, Gilui Arayos, like that, it removes the problem of Gilui Arayos. Is that saying that when the woman is Karka Olam, she's not violating Gilui Arayos, but for the purpose of Yehargval Yavor, she doesn't have to be killed?
That's a great question. It sounds like they're saying that she's not actually doing the act. She's not participating at all. Meaning she's not doing that vera. Maybe that was the possible distinction between Gilui Arayos and Parhesia, that Parhesia doesn't really matter if you're doing it. What matters is if it looks like you're doing it. That's one way of understanding it. I think there is the possible reading that you suggested of it being like more of an exemption, or you get off the hook, or it's less severe. It doesn't sound like they're going that direction, but it could be. I mean, generally, this is the hakir, this is the question people raise about ones. Generally, when you do something, you're forced to do something. You do something, even by accident, we say you don't get punished for that. Right, if you slip and accidentally fall on a piece of non-kosher meat and swallow it, happens all the time. So, so you don't get punished for that. So you don't get punished for that you didn't do the avera at all. You didn't eat the chelev. You didn't do the avera, or you ate chelev. Just there's a ptur ones. you're right, you get off the hook for the punishment. So that's like a big hakira people ask, and I think, you know, rightfully, you're asking the same question here. Since Tosas doesn't really get into that, it sounds like they just say, like, there'd be no need to do Herval Yavor, it sounds like you're not really doing the Avera at all, because they don't give a more complex explanation, but it could be. It's possible to go in your direction as well, but yeah. I'd want to see someone saying that more explicitly before I read them that way, but yeah, it could be. Nettie.
Yeah, but just to, like, build off that, if we're saying that it wouldn't be Gila Arayos, then, like, how would we explain, like, why there's ever a Chia for, like, a woman at all in Gila Arayos? Like, it seems like you would need to say that there's, like, something particular about this situation.
Right, so I think generally if it's a case where the woman is willingly participating, then you might say that somehow counts as being party to the Misa, being part, you know, somehow participating in the Misa, even though it's passive, right? But if you neither have willingness nor an action, then we don't attribute the action to you. But yeah, it's a fair pushback. There'd be a little, you know, halachic metaphysics you'd have to sort out to make all the cases work. But I think that can work. I guess in some ways from that perspective, it might be simpler to just say that you did do the action, but we don't apply Yahari Bal Yavar. Yeah, you have a follow up.
Yeah, could you also relate it to, like, getting Hana'a possibly? Like, not necessarily that, like, action is different, but that, like, because, like, that's why, like, let's say we'll say by Arayos that, like, Miss Aseik would be Chayav, even though you're not doing an action, like, you're still getting some kind of Hana'a. So, like, by default, there's, like, always Hana'a, maybe not in, like, an onus case, and, like, that would be the difference, but, like, the Masa would still be passive. Like, there's still would be no active Masa in either case.
So, yeah, so, the continuation of Tosfos that we're not doing, that everyone's welcome to do on their own time, gets into the question of Hana'a and how that applies. Tosa doesn't think Hana'a really matters, but I think what you're saying is true. Hana'a, right, as you said, Hamisasi Bachalava Marayos Chayiv Shekein Nene, right? So there's different ways of understanding that. My Rebbeim's Mesor is that's based on an idea of Tziruf to the Avera. It connects you to the Avera. Even if you're not an active participant, the fact that you benefit connects you to it. What I was just suggesting before is that maybe even if there's no Hana'a, the fact that someone's a willing participant connects them as well, in some sense. But, you know, that would work sort of in parallel to that, to the Hana, but it doesn't necessarily need Hana itself. Yeah. These are all great questions, although, I mean, if we had time, we could do a whole sugya on that. I don't know. Yeah, Dvora.
No, Nessie went where I wanted to go, so you covered.
Okay, yeah. Great. Any other questions before we move? Rivka?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a simpler question, but I was just wondering, like, when it says that Esther's, like, sin would have been in Parnassia, like, what exactly is it referring to? Because, like, presumably if it's referring to the relations between Ahasuerus and Esther, that wasn't public. So what, like, element of that is considered public?
So it's a good question. I think the assumption is if people are living together as husband and wife or as king and queen or whatever it is, that sort of qualifies. And, you know, that the presumption is that they're having a relationship. So I think that's why it qualifies as Parhasia. Otherwise, it's hard to read the Gemara. So that would seem to be what Parhasia means. I think if I remember some, maybe Achronim raised that and they go in that direction. But I didn't look that up recently. Yeah.
I think in Ketubah, like, very specifically, it's stated, like, you need people to have seen something happen if you're going to have an accusation that a woman was not a betula when she was getting married. So, like, it seems to be like if there's any kind of public, they're just seen together, like, that already can be sufficient.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few different contexts here, right? One is the presumption that people are married, the presumption that there was an act of bia, different things. I think, however exactly I don't think we would say. I mean, the standards here are slightly different than generally. The goal here is not just to understand that there was an act, but that is parhesia, that is a public act. So I think just the fact that people are seen, you know, going into yichud, I don't know if that would count as parhesia. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. It'd be interesting to think about that. I think for our purposes, the fact that people are, you know, the king and the queen are publicly married and with everything that implies, that would count as parhesia for our purposes. But yeah, I think there are related contexts that aren't exactly identical. You'd have to work out what exactly the standards were in each case. Nettie.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think the shock brings that, like, you could hear about something and that would be parhesia. So I feel like you could apply that to this case also.
Okay, yeah, interesting. That would work. although that might be too strong, right? That might make too many things for Hesia. So that you have to see, you know, I assume the Shach is not unanimous on that one. But that would be interesting to look into. Yeah, again, there's like, you know, you could spend the Sugya and Sanhedrin especially. You could spend like months just learning that Sugya B'Yun, and we don't have that time, unfortunately. So we're going to move on to the Rambam and Reb Chaim and try to focus on this issue of passive Gilui Arayos, passive Shpichas Damim, and how it works. So the Rambam, do we have, I didn't warn people about reading the Rambam. Do we have a volunteer for reading the Rambam? Tehila, was that a hand? No, okay, so Zahava.
It was a hand. but yeah, I can read it. Okay. So we're in the Rambam, Hilchot Yisrael HaTorah, Perek Hay, Halacha Aleph. Kol Beit Yisrael Metziyin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh, Shnemar V'Nikdashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael. Saying that everybody in the house of Israel is commanded on sanctifying the great name, referring to Hashem. As it says, and this is a quote from, I think, Vayikra, and my name was sanctified among Bnei Israel. Muzharim shalo lechalalo shnemar, and there is also a warning that you shouldn't desecrate it, as it says, v'lo techalalo et shem kashi, and my holy name shall not be desecrated.
Or you shall not desecrate it, yeah?
You shall not desecrate. Okay. Ketzad. Just like how, kishayamod ovid kochavim v'yanos Israel lavor alcha mikol mitzvot amarot atarav oyar genu yavor v'al yari. So we have a situation when there is a non-Jewish person and he's forcing someone of Israel to violate or to transgress one from all of the mitzvot that are recited in the Torah, or that he'll kill him. Yavor v'yarik, he should desecrate it, and he should not be killed. He should not get killed. Shnemar, as it says, v'mitzvot asher yaseh otam adam v'chay behem, and the mitzvot that you should do them, adam, that you, man, should do them, v'chay behem, and you should live by them. V'chay behem v'lo sheyamut behem, and that you should v'chay behem and live with them, and not that you should die with them. The inmate, and if he dies, or if you will die behem v'lo avar, and you do not transgress. And you did not transgress. Harei zed mitchayev b'nafsho. So when we translated this before, it was like a little bit hard to translate, but it's saying that like he's obligated on his own death. Like
he's guilty. Yeah, he's guilty of his own death because he shouldn't have done that, right? He shouldn't have said, I don't want to violate this random mitzvah. I'll give up my life. You have no right to do that. If you do that, you're guilty of your own death, right? And just one really interesting thing, right? The Rambam starts off with Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem, right? These are the rules. You think that the next thing he's about to say is, what's the most classic case of Chilul Hashem? Here are the cases where you have to give up your life. And if you don't, it's a Chilul Hashem, right? But what does the Rambam actually do? What's the first case he mentions?
Chai Behem.
Right, V'chai Behem, in a case where you have to violate the halacha and save your life. That's the most classic, that's the first case of this concept of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. So actually, we're not going to get into this now, but I think people have mentioned that for the Rambam, like, human life is not just, it's not just like, okay, like we care about human life. It's a principle, it's part of Kiddush Hashem, part of sanctifying God's name is this idea that we value human life. And there obviously are a lot of ramifications of that in, you know, the last few months, how we've been living, as people have pointed out. But for the Rambam, this is a real principle. If you think Judaism doesn't believe in human life, that's achzarius, that's calling the Torah callous with respect to human life, and that's against the Torah's values. This is a central value. The highest level of Kiddush Hashem is living Al Kiddush Hashem, not dying Al Kiddush Hashem. So that's Halacha Aleph. And now Halacha Beis, we're going to get into basically the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Zav, you want to continue?
Sure. So in Halacha Ben, the Medivarim HaRim, Bishar Mitzvot, Chutz Me'Uda Kuchavim, V'Gilai Arayu, Ishvich HaDamim. And with these things that we're referring to, with the rest of the Mitzvot, except for Avoda Kuchavim, which is Avoda Zara, Gilai Arayu, sexual relations that are improper, and Shvichot Damim, so that's murder. Aval, Shloshavim wrote Elu, but these three violations are transgressions. Im Yomar Lo Avor Alacha Mehem Otaruk, if they say you should violate one of them, or you should die, or you will die.
Otehareg, right, to be killed, yeah.
Otehareg, meaning you will be killed, or you will be killed. Yareg Valyavor, you should be killed, and you should not violate. באמת דברים אומרים בזמן שעובד כוכבים, and these things that are said at the time, שהעובד כוכבים מסתבן לעת עצמו, that a non-Jewish person is intending to benefit for himself. For example, that he's forcing them to build his house Bashabat on Shabbos, Ola Bashalo Tavshila, or to cook for him his meat. O Anas Ishalid Roala Giotze Bahem, Bazen, or that he's forcing a woman to have relations with him, or like that, things like that. Giotze Bahem, things that like derive from that. Aval, but Imit Kavin Lav Yiro Al Mitzvo Bilvad. But if the intention is just to violate the mitzvah for the sake of violating the
right. It looks like you're frozen.
Who's that referring to?
We lost you there for a second, but I think I'll paraphrase. Al miskaven la'avir al mitzvos bilvad. If this non-Jew puts a gun to your head and says, cook for me, and they're not doing it because they need the food, they're doing it because they want to have you break the Torah, la'avir, they're just doing it, so you break the mitzvos. So, im hayabein levein atzmo ve'ein shamasar miyisrael yavor ve'al yeharig, if it's private and you don't have a minion, it's not in public, then you give up your life in then you don't give up your life in such a case. Ve'in anto la'aviro ba'asar miyisrael yehar ve'al yavor. So if it's both in public and done with the intention of having you break the Torah, then you do have to give up your life rather than violate. Even if it's one of the mitzvahs, one small mitzvah, not everything. He's not saying break the whole Torah. He's saying just break one mitzvah, even one small mitzvah. You have to give up your life rather than do it if it's both public and with them trying to have you override your religion. Sorry, because we lost you, I thought I'd finish. But thank you for reading. So the Tosfos here, the Rambam here, does sort of combines two of the categories. He combines Shmad with Parhesia. That's interesting. We may talk about that tomorrow. For our purposes, we're just going to focus on the basic facts that the Rambam lays out. A normal case where someone wants you to just violate the Torah just for no particular reason, you violate the mitzvah, unless it's the big three, or unless it's a case of where they're trying to have you violate the Torah publicly. Those are our standards. I think we're going to hold questions until the end, just because we're short on time. So we're going to try to move to the Reb Chaim now. We could spend a lot of time on this, but we're a little limited. So let's do our best to get the most out of the Reb Chaim we can with the limited time. So Reb Chaim starts off with our case, our Gemara of he starts with the Rambam as he always does, and the idea of Yehari Val Yavor by the big three, and then he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and which talks about the big three. And those are Yehari Val Yavor. Rotzeach is learned out from the Svara of my Chazis. How do you know your blood is redder than theirs? And Gilei Raos is learned out by extension from Shvichas Damim. And he adds that this is only talking about Parhesia. Only talking about Betzina, only talking about private. But if it's public, then you have to give up your life as well. V'ha Esther Parhesia Vai. What about Esther? And Abai says Esther is Karka Olam. Fine. So we're going to start reading Reb Chaim now from the second paragraph from the bottom, right? Because the rest was just summarizing the sugya to this point. So he says, "V'tosvo sham hikshu, the tapeglay to Esther b'chala rayos havai." Why doesn't the Gemara ask that Esther is not parhesia, not that she's public, but that she's doing gilei rayos? And he says, "K'mu rabbi Megillah kasher avati mibeis abba kach avati mimcha." The whole discussion there assumes, and the Gemara Megillah assumes that Esther was married to Mordechai prior to going to Achashverosh. When she went to Achashverosh, she couldn't return to Mordechai. So presumably that means it's Gilei Raos. She's a married woman. How could she be with Achashverosh? V'tirtzu de'imi shema raos kli almas firlu de'mahani time of the karka olam le'inid lo'mechai v'lim saratzumi shema raos. As we saw, Tosfos concludes that Gilei Raos, everyone, both Abai and Rava, everyone thinks that Gilei Raos is not a problem for the woman because she's karka olam. And then he says, Rotzeach gufei kimechai v'lim saratzumi hani mili kodim shi'arg bi'adayim. The whole source of Rotzeach being hard v'yavar is only if it's active. Again, what we saw, the case of passive murder. If being thrown on a baby, you don't need to give up your life for that, Tosfo says. The Matzi Amar, Adar Abba, my chaz damad chavrai sumak tvei, damad damad didi sumak tvei, kevilo abid maisa. I'm not doing a maisa, so why should I say that, my life is, worth any less than the baby's life? It's not, so I can passively allow myself to be thrown on the baby. That was Tosfos. Now, the Reb Chaim comes in and says, Ve'a Rambam, desasam, ve'lo hiskir klal, hach the karka olam, mash min the cholik al zeh. The Rambam doesn't say anything about passive making a difference, right? He should have said it in these halachos. He doesn't. So presumably, he disagrees with Tosfos. Visvirle de b'chol gavni yehariv al yavor b'gilei arayos. In all cases of gilei arayos, you have to give up your life, whether you're active or passive, right? Yehareg and tehareg. And for an echler, Rishonim is said to Machogus Rishonim. Kumavur Balamor Milchamos Sham. The Gemara Sanhedrin in the back, the Balamor and Milchamos disagree about this. Ayin Sham the Sfrilu de Esther Lo Avay Arayos. Klal, maybe there's a different reading of the Gemara, not like Tosfos that Esther. Why don't we ask Esther's Gilei Arayos? Maybe Esther wasn't Gilei Arayos. If she wasn't married to Mordechai, or if Gilei Arayos doesn't count, Yeshizish doesn't count if it's with a non-Jew, then it wouldn't be Gilei Arayos. So maybe there's some other reason why it's not Gilei Arayos. The point is, not everyone agrees with Tosfos that Karka Olam automatically gets you off the hook for Gilei Arayos. And Reb Chaim thinks that the Rambam's among them, that the Rambam thinks that Gilei Arayos is still Yehari Val Yavor. So I'm just going to put this in the chat so we can hold, as they say, hold cup, keep the ideas in our head, or at least on the chat. So Tosfos' position, passive Gilei Arayos, Yavor Val Yehari, allow, right, the woman who's Karka Olam, doesn't need to give up her life. And passive shvichas damim is also yavor v'al yehareg. Passive murder, being thrown on the baby, also you're allowed to be thrown on the baby and not give up your life. But and the Rambam, so far, Reb Chaim says the Rambam disagrees about passive gilei arayos. Right? The Rambam seems to think that passive gilei arayos is yehareg v'al yavor. We're going to try to figure this out. So continue reading in Reb Chaim. Al karchav zeru shesazim arayos dvi arayos miu b'chol gavni tehareg v'al tavor. Rambam sounds like Gilei Arayos, you always have to give up your life. Ela ditzarech iyun. De arayah tosos hochichu meirotzeach. Dehecha dehavi sheval taisa eno michuyev limsor atzmo. V'lama pazit b'chol gavni tarik val tavor. What about Tosos' proof? Tosos had this great proof that sounds like that murder is only prohibited if it's active, not if it's passive. So based on that, Reb Chaim, the way he understands the Rambam now, at this point, passive Gilei Arayos is yehari val yavor, but passive murder is Yavor Val Yehari. You're allowed to be thrown on the baby, but the Nar Marasa still has to give up her life. Why would that be? Why would we make this distinction between Gilei Arayos and Shvichas Damim according to the Rambam? Right? That's pretty weird. We think they'd be the same. They're both in the same category. Why would we distinguish and say the Nar Marasa has to give up her life, but a passive murderer being thrown on the baby doesn't have to give up his life. Does not have to give up his life. V'yesh lomar dekevan deberetzicha gufa. Hadichaluk sheval taisa mi ma'isi v'yadayim. Halo ein zemishum chomer de ma'isi v'yadayim. He says the difference between active and passive in terms of murder is not a function of how severe the avera is. V'rak dekevan the shnei nefashos shkulos hein al karchach tzarf lios sheval taisa. The reason why, and there's shades of Rashi here, the reason why you don't give up your life, the reason why you generally give up your life in murder is because you and the other person, you're equal. There's no reason to assume you're worth any more, so there's no reason to do the Aveira. Vidino kishnei retzichos she'en docho ze'ezeh. There's like, you could be murdered or he could be murdered. Those are equal. Vidino b'shei baltase. What do? You're passive. There's nothing else to do. You sort of let fate go the way it does. V'alkarcho lo shayach zos dina d'shei shayach zos be'arayos. D'neima d'bikuach nefesh shakul ke'arayos. Right? But that doesn't work by arayos. The whole idea of arayos, either be killed or sleep with this person. It's not like we're weighing two lives against each other. We're weighing a life against a mitzvah or an aveira, right? So the logic doesn't apply. V'kevin the alfina me'aratzeach b'ikra din de'eno nincha b'fnei b'kuach nefesh me'mela hadar dina de'shev al taisu ma'isa b'yadayim shavin u'b'chol gavni tarik val tavor. Then what we're just left with the normal din of Gilei Arayos. It's one of the big three. It's a harik val yavor, period. So what the Rambam wants, what Reb Chaim is saying here in the Rambam, right, what's the difference between Gilei Arayos and Shvichas Damim? Gilei Arayos is based on the fundamental principle of it's such a bad avera that we just always say avoid it. Avoid it at all costs, even giving up your life. Whereas murder, it's not that murder is more severe. It overrides v'chai b'hem. It's that if you murder someone, you're actually not fulfilling v'chai b'hem. You're not actually saving a life by murdering someone to save your own life, right? Because you're just passing the buck. You're killing someone else instead of you. You're not actually saving a life. So that's why why Reb Chaim here thinks that there's a difference between Gilei Raos Shevichas Damim in this way. Gilei Raos is Yahar Val Yavor, because the Avera is so bad you can't do it. Shevichas Damim is Yavor Val Yahareg. You're allowed to be thrown on the baby because you're passive. Either way, someone's going to die. It's not that the Avera is so bad. It's that you want to make sure that you're not going to actively increase the number of deaths. Reb Chaim continues. V'yesh lomar od. He has another explanation for this version of the Rambam. Dinei tzarich in b'divrei ha-tosfos. Tosfos wanted to say that being thrown on a baby is the same thing as the Nar Marasa, who is raped. Tosfos wanted to compare the two. Reb Chaim says here, what is the comparison? Those are not the same thing at all. Why not? If you're thrown on a baby, are you committing an act of murder? You're not. You're an object. You're thrown on the baby. If a piano was thrown on the baby, it would have the same effect. You're like a stone. You're an object. You're not a participant in any sort of. You're not a real participant. You're just an object. You're not a subject in this context. The murderer is the person who throws you on the baby, not you. In the case of Nar Marasa, it's true. She's passive. That still is not the same thing as saying she's not a participant. She's clearly a participant in the act of bia, right? It doesn't make sense. If you would substitute an even, it wouldn't work. It doesn't make sense. She's obviously a participant, even though she's a passive participant. So, Bashenki ben Amarasa mikomakom harehi overes al gili arayos lahachi shapir. I didn't know saying the Terek Val Tava, right? So Reb Chaim, very interestingly, says that the difference is in terms of whether you're a participant in the action. You're passive. You're definitely passive, but he wants to say that being thrown on a baby, you're not part of the Maiser Ritzicha at all, right? Because you're just a chefta, you're just an object. Whereas, in the case of Nar Marasa, she is certainly passive, but she is one of the people involved in that Maiser Bia. Otherwise, that's sort of definitional to what a Maiser Bia is. So that's another reason, another explanation why the Rambam's view here might be that passive Gilei Arayos is Yahar V'al Yavar, because you're participating in the action, whereas passive Shvichas Damim is Yavar V'al Yahareg, since you are just an object and you're not participating at all. Fine. He then explains Tosfos' position. Remember, Tosfos, that it's Yavar V'al Yahareg in both cases. He explains Tosfos' position as being, and this is a little weak, but that since we learn out my chazis, that you have to give up your life, the Matsyamar Adra my chazis, and basically the idea is when, even in a case of Shvichas Damim, what the rule is my life, I shouldn't say my life is better than his life, my chazis, therefore I should make sure that I'm the one who dies and not them. Whereas Rambam was saying, we were understanding Rambam was saying before, since our lives are equal, I should just be passive and let things play out. Maybe Tosos holds, since our lives are equal, I need to be sure to be the one who gives up his life. I need to be like the magnanimous or whatever it is. I need to be the one to make sure I give up my life and let the other person live. So that's how he understands Tosfos. And then Reb Chaim has a whole shift, a new understanding in the Rambam, which is on the chat now, which is we're not understanding that there's a distinction between Gilei Arayos and Shvichas Damim. That Gilei Arayos, the Nar Marasa, has to give up her life. But Shvichas Damim, being thrown on the baby passively, you don't have to give up your life. No. Reb Chaim thinks in both of those cases, Yeharig Val Yavar, you have to give up your life in both of those cases. And what's the logic in Reb Chaim here? So he essentially says, I misspoke before in explaining the Tosfos, right? Tosfos in both cases says Yavor Val Yeharig. You violate rather than give up your life in both cases, because we learn out from whatever we learned out from Shvichas Damim, we carry over to Gilei Arayos and say in both cases you don't need to give up your life. But moving to the Rambam now. So the Rambam says in both cases, on this understanding, Rambam B, you need to give up your life both in Gilei Arayos and Shvichas Damim. And what's the logic? So he says, basically what we were saying before, the logic is that since your lives are equal, you need to make sure that you're the person who loses out and not the other person. Right, came in the shkulim hey memela ena nidches bifnei pikuach nefesh. Since you're equal, you don't have a heter to murder, right? Remember, generally murder is prohibited. There's a heter. We thought there was a heter if it's passive, right? But at the end of the day, it's still murder. And even though you say I'm passive, there still is an act of murder that you're involved in that would be involved. So kaven neshkulim heim ve'ein chaver nidcham ifnei pikuach nefesh memeli ayir val yavor kim lo chala din dechia beharitzicha. So on this understanding, this seems to differ from what he said before. It's a new understanding of how why rotzeach is yarg val yavor. Not just that, like what we saw in Rashi, that it sort of cancels out, right? It's not that if I kill him to save my life, I haven't actually saved any lives. It's not v'chai behem. There's no v'chai behem at all. So it's not that murder is worse than other averos per se, and that's why we don't apply v'chai behem. It's not like we're overriding v'chai behem. But it's just that v'chai behem doesn't even come into the picture because you're not actually saving any lives at the end of the day. That's what we were saying before. But now we're saying something else. We're saying, no, it's actually the avera of murder is actually more severe, just like Gilui Arayos, just like Avodah Zarah. And that's why we can't matir, we can't permit you to be involved in Ritzicha and being thrown on the baby even, because at the end of the day, it's an avera of Ritzicha. And we do not override the Ritzicha. We can't override the Ritzicha because it's a more severe avera. Fine. I think we're well out of time, so we're gonna pause here. We may start next time with a recap of this Reb Chaim, but then we're gonna talk next time about some related issues. The question of why these three, what's special about them, and issues of how severe they are versus the Chil Hashem aspect. So thank you all, and I'll take.